Welcome to Unwrap with J-Rap. I'm your host, J-Rap. I'm going to switch gears a little bit. While we were underway, we saw dolphins, which was cool. They were jumping around and swimming kind of next to the ship. We saw flying fish, which I've seen before. It's obviously they don't fly. They just jump really, really far and they can flap their fins and stay above the water for longer. They basically glide. So it's pretty cool. Saw a bunch of those. And then, like I said, I think I might have seen two buoys the whole time that we looked out at the water the whole time. And we were on ship for months at a time, or months total. So it's like, we barely saw one. And actually, that was what was crazy was, I remember staring out one time and I actually did see a buoy. And I was like, oh my goodness, there's a buoy out here. So then I remember asking one of the sailors there, like, hey, what are these freaking buoys out here for? And they're like, well, they use them to navigate and such, which, you know, common sense, I guess, would have said that. But I don't know. I mean, I've never been on a ship before. That was my first time, so I had no idea. Something new to me. I didn't know that people put buoys out in the middle of freaking nowhere in the ocean. But that makes sense. Makes perfect sense after hearing that. So I said earlier that I was in the mess deck, the officer ward room. That's what it was called, the ward room. So I had the officer's mess. Really cool for me. The experience, because everybody on ship has some type of responsibility. In an earlier podcast, I talked about ship's platoon, and I got lucky and never got put on ship's platoon, so I didn't have to be somebody's peon. But I did get put on mess duty. Mess duty is one of those duties that pretty much nobody wants to be on as well, because you're serving food to everybody, and you gotta be up early, and you gotta stay late, and it sucks. I got lucky because I got the officer's ward room, which meant it was me and a cook. That was it. So there was, I think, 12 Marine officers. And then I don't remember how many Navy officers, maybe like 15 or 20 on ship. And then the captain is on the ship. And then our CO, our colonel, was on the ship. Or lieutenant colonel is what we had there. So that's where they eat. Well, their menu is a whole lot different than the rest of the people on ship. So there's three galleys, I think is what they call them. So there's the regular galley where the enlisted eat at. Up until E6. E7 on is called the chief's mess. That, I've heard, is the coolest place to be if you have mess duty. But I beg to differ, because I talk to those guys. But they get treated really well, because it's a bunch of enlisted guys, and the enlisted guys treat you well, because you're doing a service to the chiefs and the gunnies and the chiefs that are on ship. You're preparing their food and getting them their stuff. And they have a menu that they get to choose from that's different from the menu that the galley has. The galley has like crap compared to the chief's mess. And then the one with the most variety was the officer's ward room. In comparison, the officer's ward had the most variety, the largest variety of food and the largest menu. The way it worked for the officer's ward room was basically they had a menu of the contents that they had on ship. And there's like, so you had omelet, and then you had all the condiments that go in the omelet, whether it was ham, cheese, bell peppers, onions, mushrooms, different cheeses, things like that. Then they had the regular eggs that you could have it done sunny side up or scrambled or whatever. Then they had the hash browns. If you don't like hash browns, they had the thick potatoes cut that way. And then they had, you know, just various different things. That's breakfast, right? And then for lunch, they had a couple of different things that they could choose from. Like they had lasagna, or they had chicken, or they had some type of vegetarian thing for vegetarians. So they had different things, and they had a salad and soup with just about every meal. So they had the pick of what they wanted. So I would go specifically and get each officer's request, and I'd write it down, and then I go in and I tell the cook, who was an E6, I told him, and he would prepare whatever it was, and then I'd bring it out to them. Pretty cool deal, because that meant that I got to eat whatever we had there. So I technically ate better than, I would say, 90% of people on ship, maybe 99% of the people on the ship, other than the officers themselves. But even then, I got to get the things that weren't necessarily served during that time, and that cook was awesome. Me and him got along really well. He was really cool. Dude cooked me whatever I wanted, and, you know, I felt bad. I'm like, no, I don't want you to, you know, you don't have to cook this or that. And he's like, no, I love cooking. That's why I'm a cook. I love this. So he took pride in it, and he had fun with it. And then he asked me sometimes, like, hey, do you want this? And it's something crazy that, you know, we don't get normally. I'm like, oh yeah, definitely. So I got to eat really well on ship for that period of time that I was there. On top of that, so I got a story I have to tell about the ward room and how Marines get spoiled. So the Navy, that's just how their life is on ship. They're catered that way automatically. It's just part of being on ship, I guess, as an officer. Even as like a boot officer, a new officer, you're treated at that level. That level, which is the same as the captain of the ship. I don't think there's any difference between the lowest ranking officer and the captain when it came to the menu, if I remember correctly. Anyway, so Marines get spoiled because they're not used to that. Marine officers eat with the enlisted Marines. Maybe not at the same table, but they eat the same thing we do, and they eat in the same place we do, other than maybe they might have a little separation of in the room where they are, or if we have a tent or something like that, they'll be in the officer's tent or something. But they're eating the same thing we are in the same way we are, unless they are lucky and they get to leave and go somewhere else and eat. But most of the time, when we're in the field, that's what we call it, in the field, or on a deployment, they eat the same thing we eat. They eat the same place we eat. On ship, it's not that way at all. The chiefs, they eat differently than the rest of the enlisted, and the officers eat different than everyone. So we had some Marines come on ship, the officers that came on ship, and they came up to the wardroom, and they're spoiled now because they have a menu. Normally they have like chicken or fish, broccoli or potatoes, you know, what you have one starch and one meat or whatever it is, and then you have a salad, which is usually not that great, and then you have like two or three dressings if you're lucky. So that's usually how it is. So coming up there and they have a menu, and they actually get to eat off of a menu, they get a pick, like, oh, I can have hash browns and I can have this and that. You know, there was no limitation. It wasn't like you can have this and this or this or this. It was whatever you want, fill your plate. So they could have picked three things if they wanted to. Instead of one meal, they could have had technically three plates worth of food or different things. So they got spoiled, and this one captain, I'm gonna call him Captain G. I didn't like that dude from the beginning. So I gotta go back and talk about this guy from back when I was a junior Marine. I think I was a brand new Lance Corporal. So I might even have been a PFC. Actually, I think I was. I think I was a PFC. So I was Private First Class. I was supposed to be Lance Corporal, but I got on island, and then we get promoted on the 1st, and I got there April 24th, and they didn't have my promotion warrant ready. So I didn't get pinned until like May or June. So I got paid as a Lance Corporal. I just got treated like a PFC, which sucked. So it was terrible. So then anyway, so I got put on what's called a working party. So basically you're just a crew of people. They just randomly get, or they volunteer you. And if you're a PFC, we have a saying, PFC doesn't stand for Private First Class. We say it's perfect for cleaning. So I got put in this working party, and in this working party, this captain was a lieutenant at the time, and he's from Georgia, so he had this really thick accent, southern accent, and just, not that people from Georgia sound dumb, but this guy sounded dumb, like freaking really stupid. Like, I don't know how he was an officer. I really don't. That's where I learned, the Marine Corps really taught me that just because they have a degree does not mean they're smart. That dude is dumb. Anyway, so he is a lieutenant. I think he was a first lieutenant, so the second rank in the officer ranks. And he's got this poster that he wants to put up on the wall. And he's like, hey, PFC. I'm like, yes, sir. He's like, hey, go find me some nails. So I'm looking around and I can't find any nails that are, or tacks or whatever. I'm like, sir, don't you mean a tack, like a thumb tack? No, I mean a nail. I'm like, okay. I'm not gonna argue with him because he's an officer, but I'm thinking like, why does he need a nail for a poster? And you know, we're taught not to ask why, just do. So I'm like, okay. So I grab a nail, and this nail, I mean, it's not a little nail, it's huge, like 6-inch nail. It's massive. Like, reminds me of a railroad nail because it's so freaking huge. So I'm like, sir, this is all I found. He's like, oh, that's just great. It's great. He's like, so, I don't have a hammer. Like, okay, sir. He's like, so, I need you to go get me a hammer. I'm like, sir, I can go get one. It's at the shop, which is about a mile away. And he just looks at me and he goes, well, you got legs. So I'm like, okay, really? I gotta run a mile away, get a hammer, and run back. And because it's gear that is accounted for, that means I gotta run back and take the hammer back when he's done. Mind you, officers have cars, so he could have driven me down there and gotten it and driven back, but he was oh so busy, so it was better for him to have me run a mile and go get this freaking hammer and run back. So I'm like, okay, sir, is there anything else you need? And he's like, well, just make sure when you get this hammer, make sure you get a sledgehammer. And I'm like, what? I didn't say that. I'm thinking in my head. So I said, sir, are you sure you needed a sledgehammer? He's like, PFC. What did I just say? I'm like, okay, sir. Aye, aye, sir. So I run down and I get a sledgehammer. And I run back with the sledgehammer, which is not fun. And I'm in full camouflage utilities, which really sucked. So I get there, cover and all means hat. Hat and all, cover and all. So I get there and I hand him the sledgehammer, and he's getting ready to use the sledgehammer with this massive nail to nail in a poster. Like, I'm talking a regular freaking paper poster. I'm like, sir, I really don't think that's a good idea. So then he gives me this, like, 10-minute speech on using the proper tools for whatever it is that you're doing. And I'm thinking in my head, like, is he even listening to himself talk right now? Like, you're literally telling me, so the way he did it was, he has a degree, and he started talking about, you should go to college and get a degree, because when you do that, you learn things. And I'm like, okay, obviously you learn things. I would hope so. So he says, you learn things that, you know, maybe you wouldn't learn otherwise. And then that's when he starts talking about tools and using the proper tools for the things that you're going to need it for. So if you're hammering something in, you need a hammer or whatever, right? So he has this sledgehammer and this massive nail and a poster, and we're talking about a regular wall we're putting this in. So I go, sir, that is a sledgehammer and a nail. Like, you just talked to me about using the proper tools. I don't think that's the proper tool for a poster. So I don't think that's the proper tool. It's a regular poster and a huge nail. It's gonna go through the wall, sir. It's gonna go into the CO's office, or XO's office. That's executive officer. Sir, it's gonna go into the XO's office. And he looks at me, he's looking at me like, didn't I just tell you about proper tools and all this stuff? So I'm totally just, it baffled my mind that he's giving me this look. So I just kind of put my head down like, aye, sir. You know, like, that's what you're gonna do. Okay. So he puts the sledgehammer down and he says, you know what? I think you're right. So I'm like, okay. Finally, he's listening to me. So he grabs a three-hole punch, holds the nail up, and proceeds to pound the three-hole punch into the nail to nail this poster to the wall. He smacks it one time, and it looks like freaking Christmas.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
White little dots everywhere. They just went everywhere. And he looks at me like, I'm gonna clean it up. So I'm like, sir, I tried telling you that you should not use that sledgehammer and probably shouldn't use the three-hole punch. Like, do you really want me to clean this up? And he's like, looking at me like, no kidding. So now I'm really kind of pissed because he's an idiot and just made this mess and embarrassed himself. You can tell he's completely embarrassed. And now he wants me to clean up his mess so that he looks like he can save face because, you know, like, I'm his little peon and he can just make me clean it up. So I walked out, because I told him I had to go get some stuff to clean it up, a dustpan and a broom. I left, I went out, and I didn't go back in there. I was like, screw that, I'm not picking up his mess, that's his mess. Luckily, I never got in trouble for that. So now let's fast forward, I don't know, 6 months around. Now this guy, he gets frocked to captain, which means, for those of you who don't know what that means, so he, in order for him to be a company commander for the deployment we were going on, he had to be a captain, So what they do is they give you the rank of captain physically, but not the pay. So your pay grade is still, he still was an O2, not an O3. So the second rank, second officer rank. He was not getting paid as a captain. He was just wearing the rank insignia of a captain, and he had the authority of a captain. So he gets frocked to captain, and I personally believe that everybody hated him so much they put him on this deployment because they just wanted to get rid of him from the battalion. And I also believe they purposefully frocked this guy because they knew that if you gave him just enough rope, he'd hang himself. But not physically, but figuratively, right? So they frock him to captain, and I see him as a captain. I'm like, oh no, this guy is a freaking captain. Like, this is not good. And then I hear he's our company commander for the deployment. I'm like, oh, this is gonna be terrible. Like, this guy's a freaking idiot.
You're an idiot.
So I'm talking with my buddies or whatever, and I'm like, yeah, this guy is freaking dumb. Like, I hope we don't have to do anything that involves shooting or maneuvering, because I don't want to be anywhere around this guy. This guy's dumb. Like, I don't think I've ever met anybody this dumb. And he's in charge. That's the bad thing. So they're like, oh, it can't be that bad. I'm like, no, I'm telling you, this dude's stupid. He's freaking dumb. So I tell them the story about what happened. They're like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah. And then I still had to run back and take the sledgehammer back and then run back. So I ran 4 miles, two of it with a freaking sledgehammer, all because he's an idiot. And he could have driven me. And that would have been, yeah, anyway. So he's freaking stupid. This dumbass captain has this huge office. And this was back in the day when, if you were in the Marine Corps back then, so back in the day when you had posters that were like probably 10 years, 20 years before my time, that they were still using for like recruiting and stuff like that. So a lot of recruiters would bring them back to the fleet with them, back to the Marine Corps, and give them to the command or put them up in their office or whatever. And then sometimes people bought them. But anyway, so they had these motivational recon posters. One of the first ones I'd ever seen before I was a Marine, I saw it. It was recon. It was awesome. This guy's painted, his face all painted. He's got water coming down on him. He's coming out of the water like a Navy SEAL looking like, you know, that's what I would think of. And I never knew what force recon was, so it was pretty cool. But anyway, so this guy wants to put this poster up on the wall. And he tells me the same friggin' story that he told me like 6 months ago about having an education and using the proper tools for the job. And I'm like, there is no friggin' way. There's no way that he repeats the same thing. There's no friggin', it's not possible. Like, it's, nobody can be that freaking stupid.
You're so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
He pulls the poster out and says, "Hey, Lance Corporal." I'm like, "Yes, sir." He's like, "Hey, I need some nails." I'm like, "Oh my God. Oh no. This is not good. Oh, this is not good." Like, okay. So I find thumbtacks because I'm hoping that he realizes that he's done this before, that he remembers it, right? "Sir, I got some thumbtacks right here that I found, so you can use these." "Well, that's good initiative, but bad judgment." I'm like, what do you mean, sir? It's a poster. It's not a cement wall. It's a regular wall." He's like, "Lance Corporal, if I tell you to get nails, that means I need you to get nails." I'm like, "Okay, sir." So I go get nails. I'm like, "Sir, last time, when I brought him to him, like, last time, sir, the nail went through the XO's office, through the wall, and he wasn't happy. And I remember he asked me what happened, and I didn't want to say what happened, but he kind of forced me into telling him. And he just looks at me like he doesn't know what I'm talking about at all.
Are you like a crazy person?"
And it's the same guy, and I know it's the same guy, based on this conversation that told me it was the same guy, even if I didn't remember. So I'm like, okay, whatever. So he grabs a three-hole punch. I can't even make this up. He grabs a three-hole punch and a nail, and he proceeds to bash the nail in with this three-hole punch, and poof, friggin' Christmas.
Snow, snow,
snow, snow,
snow.
So I see this, and I just laugh, like, out loud. I'm not even trying to hide it this time. I just laugh out loud, and I shook my head, and I left. Because there was no way in hell I was going to be cleaning up his mess. So I'm like, I'm out. I walk out down the hallway, and I'm just baffled. It baffled my mind. I couldn't believe somebody would be that stupid to do that same thing again. So this captain, such an idiot. This captain is such an idiot. If what I just told you didn't tell you enough to tell you that he's an idiot, if it wasn't enough of an example, I'm going to tell you another story about this idiot.
Hold on to your britches, bitches.
So he gets relieved of command on ship because he's a freaking idiot. We were in Indonesia and we landed there via helicopter. That was the plan. So I'm going to back up. So the plan was to land there via helicopter and AAVs. And then we had some other ways of getting there. But LCAC, or I think two LCACs, the aircraft or hovercrafts that basically they drive out there and offload. And then we were supposed to set up the beach with what we call panel markers. Like, they're basically flags that have a symbol. And like I talked about earlier, when we offload ships, we have medical supplies, we have water, we have food, we have miscellaneous, we have fuel, we have ammo, we have all these different markers on these basically like flags that are on the beach that show you where the things are supposed to go. And it was all set up just so that the Indonesian military could see how we did an amphibious assault and a beach landing. It was all set up that way for them. Well, in the meeting, we have like a sandbox, right? Like the one that you see on the movies where you have like, they have the formations of the militaries and everything. We literally have this, and it's like the beach. And he put, I can't make this up, he's an officer, mind you, and his specialty is supposed to be logistics. So this is part of the thing that he went through. So he should understand this and should be able to execute this properly. He put, just like I said earlier, what not to do. He put fuel next to food or rations, next to ammo, next to medical, and then something else after that. Miscellaneous stuff or whatever. He had it literally set up that way. And I'm like, sir, we can't do this. We definitely can't show the Indonesians this is how we do it. Anybody with common sense is going to think we're stupid. And he looked at me like I was stupid. He's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, sir, it's against SOP and it's against common sense to put explosive things that close to each other and only separated by the things we need, like absolutely need. Like if you have fuel, you put like the POW camp next to that. That way, if the enemy hits your fuel, it kills the POWs too, so we don't have to worry about them anymore. Instead, you have medical supplies here. If it hits there, then our medical supplies are gone and our fuel's gone. And if it's that close in radius to the ammo, now the ammo blows up and now we have no food either because the food's next to that. And he goes, Lance Corporal, and then he says my name, Lance Corporal, this is how we are going to do this. Aye, sir. So I go over and I find my gunny, who is a landing support specialist prior to picking up Gunnery Sergeant. I says, sir, or Gunnery Sergeant, can I talk to you for a minute? He's like, yeah. I was like, I know we're supposed to abide by lawful orders and direct orders from officers. What do we do when it's just stupid and we know that it's against SOP and common sense? He's like, what are you talking about? So I explained to him what happened, what the captain said to me. And he just looks at me and goes, are you freaking serious? I'm like, Gunny, I can't make that up. He's like, all right, well, hey, I'll handle it. When you get to the beach, you set it up how you're supposed to set it up, not how he has it displayed. I'm like, all right, but he's going to show the Indonesians this is how we do this, and it's going to make us all look really stupid. He's like, well, I can't control that. I can talk to him. I can advise him, but it's his decision overall, which sucks. But, you know, he can make the final say, and I can only tell him what he should do and what he shouldn't do. He's the one that makes the final choice. I'm like, all right, sounds good, Gunny. Let's hopefully he listens to you, because he didn't listen to me. So then he continues to do this, and then he wants them set up the panel markers, these beach panel markers, set up really close to the landing zone where the helicopters land. And again, if you know anything about this, you know there has to be at least a certain distance away because the helicopter has downwash. And when it lands, it's going to blow that panel marker over. And the bad part about that is it could get sucked up into the rotor and everybody dies. So not good. So we told him, sir, that can't go there. And he's telling me it has to be there. I'm like, sir, it can't. I'm telling you, it can't go there. He's like, it's going to go there. So I'm like, sir, I don't think you understand. Like, we cannot set this up here. This is not, it's endangering everybody who lands here. Not to mention, they're too close to the beach. When the LCACs come up here and they turn around, the force from the air that's being thrusted out of the huge engine fans out of the LCAC, it's going to knock these over and it's going to be debris all over the beach. And he just looks at me like, get it done. So I'm like, aye, sir. So I of course tell Gunny, hey, he just told me this, that, and the other thing. He's like, whatever. Hey, it's on him. He wants to hang himself, then let him hang himself. All right, Gunny. So I go down there. I get on the bird and we fly out and then we land. And then he's out there with me. And we set up this entire thing. And I'm like, sir, can I tell you again? This is really too close to the beach. And this is too close to the landing zone. Lance Corporal. Sir, what I say? Aye, sir. So I set it up. Of course, helicopter comes out, snaps the thing in half. It goes flying away. Luckily, it didn't go towards the helicopter. It flew away. And my gunnery sergeant is on that flight. So he gets down. He's pissed off, because they could have just died. The captain or the pilot is pissed off, and the gunny goes over and he just starts yelling at the captain that, you know, everybody could have died. He could have got people killed. The Marines on the beach could have gotten hurt because the panel marker, it has metal. It could have, or aluminum. It could have gotten launched at somebody and impaled somebody. Some people could have died. And the captain, you know, pretty much just whatever. But then the LCACs come and before they got out there, I was moving as many of the beach panel markers away from the beach as I could. Jay, I think he was the one that set up the panel markers, if I remember correctly, the one I talked about before. And I went out there and I started moving them, and then, you know, I couldn't get all of them out in time. The LCACs come up, blows them all over, and luckily those ones didn't break. They just fell over. But now the Navy's pissed because they don't know where to go with their LCAC because the panel markers are down because the one LCAC came and knocked them over. So anyway, it gets worse. So that all happens. The gunny's mad, and I had a corporal at the time, I won't say his name, but he was also a freaking idiot, and he was fat, and he was dumb. So this guy was getting out soon. I don't know why he was even on the deployment, other than maybe the same reason the captain was, just to get rid of the guy. I had told him that gunny said not to do this, that, and the other thing, and he's the one that told Jay to set up the beach panel markers on the beach the way they were supposed to be set up, and the one near the landing zone. So I went and talked to Gunny and was like, Gunny, I know you told me to do this, that, or the other thing, whatever. And I tried to fix it, and the corporal told me to leave it the way it is. Certain things that he told me to leave it where it was. And I said, well, Gunny told me to let the captain, you know, let him hang himself. But at the same time, like, there's a safety issue. Like, you can't let this be this close to whatever. So he's like telling me that I just need to do what I'm told, that the corporal says this. And at some point, common sense has to play in and safety has to play in above your rank and your freaking authority or whatever. So this corporal I go to the gunny, and I wasn't like ratting on him. I was just telling him what's going on, what's happening, and why it happened and everything. And the gunny basically says to me that I'm in charge now, and that corporal works for me now. So he basically fired the corporal as the corporal and then put me as the one that was in charge. So now it didn't mean a whole lot. It just meant that I was making the decisions instead of the corporal making the decisions, because the corporal had no judgment, or terrible judgment. And he didn't have a backbone. He had no, and for lack of a better term, he had no balls. So basically I get put in charge, and I did my best with what I could. So we set the beach up and set everything up the way we're supposed to after that happened. And then I explained the best that I could with the time that I had and to the Indonesians that's not how we put it together. And without calling my captain an idiot, because that doesn't make us look good by telling them my captain's an idiot, I basically said that they were just doing that based on the panel markers we had, that we wouldn't actually set them up that way. So I basically covered for the captain, so they didn't think we were idiots and we set things up in such a stupid way. So the next thing was, like I said, it gets better. So the lieutenant colonel comes out on one of the helicopters and he lands, and we are setting up, we set up a NEO and a HAO. So NEO is a non-combatant evacuation operation, and a HAO is a hostile evacuation operation. So it's supposed to be like for embassies, to get people out of the embassies, U.S. citizens and people that work in there, local nationals that work in there, basically to get them to safety if something were to happen in a country. Like, for example, Benghazi. That was an annex. It wasn't an embassy, but the same protocol should have been done for Benghazi. Anyway, so we have different areas set up for medical, for screening, for people coming in, security threats. We label people white, black, and gray for the training exercise. We do it a little bit differently when it actually goes down, but in this case we did white, black, and gray. So if you were white, that means you were good. If you were gray, that means we don't have enough information on you. We don't know if you're good or bad or whatever. So they go in a different holding area. And then black meant we were a known bad person. Like you were a known combatant or a known terrorist or whatever, and you got arrested immediately. And you had to be careful because those guys could have bombs on them or whatever. So that was not to be taken lightly. So that happened. So we set up all these little sections and areas where people are going to go through and funnel through, and you know, this is for a non-combatant, this part. And we didn't have radios out there because that captain said we didn't need them. So the comm chief, who was a sergeant at the time, the comm chief argued with them and said, sir, I can't tell you enough, we need to have radios because we need to be able to communicate with the ship, at least, and the helicopters. Like, we have to be able to communicate with them. And he said, we'll be fine, we don't need it. And he's like, well, sir, we gotta have walkie-talkies. Well, they're not walkie-talkies, we call them walkie-talkies. We gotta have the handheld radios in order to talk to each other, like here in the area. And he's like, that's what we got privates and PFCs for. So basically he's saying that they're gonna run, right? They're gonna run to send messages. So we have little messengers running around. So that's exactly what's going on. There's no radios out there. And in order to get somebody some information, so if you had to tell somebody, hey, this is what's going on right now, or this is the status we have right now, or we're going to go give somebody a status update or get a status update, that means a Marine has to run like a quarter of a mile to another station and tell them what's going on or whatever, and then he has to run back. So you're talking, this takes some time. Bad things can go even worse when you have that much time passing just to get a message to somebody. So the lieutenant colonel comes out and he's already pissed off because he can't get a hold of anybody. And he doesn't know why. He thinks our communication's down or something. So he goes over to the comm vehicle and he sees there's no radio in the comm truck. So he's pissed and he's screaming at the sergeant. Like, why don't you have a friggin' radio in here? And the sergeant just says, sir, I told the captain we needed to have a radio, and he gave me a direct order not to bring it, that he would handle it. So the lieutenant colonel screamed at the captain at the top of his lungs in front of everybody that was around there. That's something I've never seen before, by the way, and never saw again. An officer screaming at another officer in front of everyone. Berated him, belittled him, told him he was the dumbest person he'd ever met. Just leveled him with words. And then told him, you're relieved of your command. You're secure to the ship until we get to the next port, and you're getting on the first flight back to Okinawa, and we're kicking you out of the Marine Corps. And all of us are like, wow, I can't believe that just happened. Should have happened a long time ago, but we couldn't believe it actually happened. Fast forward a little bit, we're on ship. Philippines was the next port where we were going to land from Indonesia. I believe it was Philippines. We land there, and the captain, this captain that had been relieved, that's supposed to be in quarters, meaning you can't leave his area where he is, the ward room. He can't leave that specific room other than to eat and to go to the bathroom and shower, and then he has to go back. Like, there's no working out for him. There's no going off the ship for liberty. Liberty is what we call our free time. He wasn't allowed to go on liberty or anything, so he was stuck on ship. Well, he goes over and talks to the chaplain and tells the chaplain he's going to hang himself or kill himself if he's on the ship any longer. He's got cabin fever. He needs to talk to the chaplain, get some fresh air. He needs to be out on land. Well, the chaplain, not wanting this guy to kill himself, grants his request, and he takes him off the ship. And they go out somewhere, and he ditches the chaplain, and he gets wasted drunk, just absolutely tanked. His flight was at, I believe, like 7:30 or 8. All officers enlisted have to be back on ship at the latest by 7 o'clock in the morning. Like, if you're up there at 07:00 and 1 second, you're late. Like, they don't even care, and you will get charged. So it's 7. And I was on the quarter deck, which is up where we walk up and check in with the duty. I was on the quarter deck, and a bunch of other people are on the quarter deck. And we're getting ready to do accountability, which we do every morning. And we know that people are going to come onto ship from out wherever they were in the Philippines, you know, at the bars or whatever, at 7 at the latest. So we have formation at 7:30. That gives them time to go brush their teeth and shave real quick and then be out in formation. 7:30 comes, and he's not in formation. Nobody knows where he's at. Nobody's seen him. He's not in his quarters. And the chaplain says, he ditched me last night, and we haven't seen him since. And I guess he told the duty before, but they didn't worry about it because he had to be back by 7. Well, he's not back, and it's now 8. He's still not back. 8:30, still not back. His flight was at 9. He shows up like 9:30, I think. And he shows up just tanked, just wrecked, and the CO just lights him up on the quarter deck, screaming and yelling at him. Dude is falling over drunk, just totally wrecked. So I don't know where they took him, but they took him down somewhere, and then eventually he was put on a flight and shipped out of there. But I don't think it was from the Philippines. I think he had to stay on ship longer or something. I don't remember exactly what happened. I just know we were leaving that day. So I don't know I don't remember what happened exactly. Or maybe we weren't told. But he got canned like right then and there. And then I saw him once more, I don't know, 6 months after that. And he was still in the Marine Corps. And I was like, I can't believe this guy's still in the Marine Corps. And he was frocked as a captain. So he was a captain. And normally if they frock you, they can unfrock you. But he had been frocked, and then he picked up captain somehow legitimately while we were on that deployment. Before all that happened, obviously. So that guy, that is the dumbest person I have ever met and had an experience with in my entire life. And I've met some pretty freaking stupid people. So that's saying a lot. Anyways, until next time, guys, I gotta cut this short. Well, it's not really short, it's long. All right, so I'm gonna get going now. I hope you guys enjoyed. I'll expand more on being on ship and some other ships that I was gonna talk about that were not naval vessels, that were civilian ships. I was gonna talk about that, and I just didn't get to that yet. I got sidetracked by all these other stories that I wanted to tell you. Hopefully you guys enjoyed. Until next time.
Thank you for your support.